Greasy Pole, 3-0. That's a big number for you and me. Great one, because I didn't think I could put up with you for this long. And instead, here we are still. I think this goes back to the fact that I really don't have that many friends. So, you know, I have to trawl pretty low to get what I need. Think of me as your average Texan Vietnamese shrimp fisherman. And the great one is something horrible that I've dragged up from the depths and I just can't let go of. So here we are at number 3-0. I've had some wonderful memories of these... of these 30 podcasts. Wonderful memories, really warm, fuzzy, very fuzzy. I can't remember any of them. But I'm pretty sure that if I could remember any of the memories about these 30 podcasts, that they would be very fine indeed. Great one. What are your thoughts on our hitting the big 3-0?
Oh. It's hard to follow that one. That was good. Yeah, I'm just surprised I've got you to consistently show up this many times, you know, with your gallivanting all over the planet and doing all of this stuff. You know, it's like, Adam has a life and he does things. How's he fit this in?
I think when we started the Greasy Pole, I was in Australia. And then, of course, it went to Holland, the Netherlands, right. And then Saudi Arabia, and now somewhere in Italy.
Yeah.
See,
globetrotting.
Yeah. It's been good, man. It's been good. I've been living the dream with you for so long. I think we did a Greasy Pole from Louisiana. Did we do one? No, we didn't. We didn't do one from Louisiana.
We did.
We did, because I was there for 4 or 5 months.
Oh, wait. We did didn't we do a live stream or something with Clary?
We did something. I think when I picked you and Cappy up from the airport,
right?
We got in the car.
Yeah, he tried.
And
to
this is the first time I'd met you. Exactly, the first time I'd met you in person, and we weren't even out of the car park yet. I was going down the spirally turny thing.
Yes, in the parking garage. Yep.
And having to concentrate, and suddenly Cappy's sticking his phone in my face, saying we're going to live stream now. I'm like, dude, come on. Can I get out of the fucking car park?
Right.
Can we go get a beer or something? Smoke a cigar first.
God, we can't do this sober. Are you crazy? Right.
Are you crazy? You're fucking, I'm drinking now.
Good decision.
But so we've done the Greasy Pole some all around the planet, really. I think it's probably the most momentous podcast in all of history. It's only that other people haven't realized that yet. I would say that after you and I die and I go to heaven and you go to, you know,
hell,
the Bernie place,
place.
I would say that people in general will discover our podcast and realize just how much level of genius
absolutely
has been here.
Right.
And they'll probably make statues of us, only for those same statues to be torn down 200 years ago 200 years later by socialist scum. But, you know, we'll get a few years up there in marble with birds shitting on us, pigeons roosting on my nose hair.
Genius is never recognized in its time. We know these things.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not recognized after its time either. you were asking me about Cappy. Cappy asked for my postal address the other week.
Oh, no.
And he wanted to send me something from Amazon.
Uh-huh.
And I was a little bit suspicious of this.
As you should be.
But I gave him the benefit of the doubt, expecting an inflatable deluxe woman to arrive right. in the post. The one with the real hair. That's the deluxe version.
Oh.
And then he couldn't get it from Amazon because Amazon wouldn't deliver what he wanted to send me to Italy. So he had to go full courier thing. And the first
passenger
I knew it
pigeon?
Was my cleaning lady rings me and says, there's a package here for you, Adam, because she was cleaning the house and I wasn't home. But I have to pay €7 on it. And I'm like,
good Lord.
So I get her to pay the €7 out of her own pocket, right? And I don't know, she's some Ukrainian gypsy woman who doesn't have 2 cents to rub together. And then I get home and I open the package fully expecting a bomb.
Right.
But it wasn't a bomb, unfortunately, because I'm still here, or I'm not missing any limbs or fingers or anything like that, or eyes. And instead, Cappy sent me all the way from South Dakota that my cleaning lady had to spend €7 of her own money, a stick of Irish Spring deodorant. And what I want to know is...
Well, I want to know why you couldn't send that to Italy.
Now, what I want to know is, great one is, and you know him better than me.
Unfortunately.
What's wrong with Cappy? Is this an illness? Is he taking pills? Is he getting shots? You know, is he following some sort of regimen thing? Because this is not the first time that Cappy has sent me Irish Spring deodorant in the mail. And for those listeners who don't know where this goes back to, let me explain where it goes back to. I don't know, okay? I don't know. I know that when Cappy and you visited me in Louisiana, Cappy used my underarm deodorant, which at the time was Hermes, which I was not impressed by. It's one thing to use your mate's spray-on deodorant, that's fine, but not his
right.
roll-on deodorant.
No, you know? That's wrong. We don't transfer the cooties. No.
But I let it go, even though you saw the look on my face, which was like Sheldon's face scrunched up when someone, you know, opens one of his comic books from the Big Bang Theory. But then I don't know where this Irish Spring, I think Cappy was using Irish Spring. And I poured scorn on this. I said this was yes. lower than Old Spice. And so for that reason, Cappy decides every now and then from somewhere on the planet to send me Irish Spring deodorant. It's still in my car. So my car's smelling quite Irish springy, I have to say. But there's something wrong with this man.
Oh, here he comes. Bet you can't make him stop. Bet I can.
Oh, morning, Sean.
Morning, Mary. Tis a fine, fresh day.
Aye, fresh as the fragrance of Irish Spring.
Ah, Irish Spring. I should have known a fine girl like you would appreciate Irish Spring. With its unique double deodorant system.
Tis manly protection.
Manly, yes. But I like it too.
Irish Spring. Now in the big, longer-lasting shower size.
Cappy does have a thing for the Irish Spring. So here, what's funny about all this is one of the guys we have a couple of company vehicles at the place where I work. They're company / personal. And one sure. of the guys, he's got 4 kids. And so he's got this big expedition-y SUV thingy. And sometimes I drive it around for work. And I took it out like about 6 or 7 months ago. And in the back, in one of the cup holders... Still in the box is a box of Irish Spring soap.
Not just one stick.
One stick in the box.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so I'm like, well, that's unusual. Okay. So I took the vehicle out again about 3 weeks ago, and this box of Irish Spring is still there. And I said, okay, does this guy listen to Cappy's podcast? I don't know it. What's going on? So I asked him, I said, why is there Irish Spring in the vehicle? And he says, well, I read on the internet that if you put Irish Spring in your vehicle or someplace like that, it'll keep the mice away.
Okay.
And so this is all a right, soap well, I'll that is to, so I'll repulsive to, that it runs, runs mice
that,
off.
I'll have to put that in my barn then.
Right. Try it out. Put it in your barn.
I'll do that in the barn.
And
okay, interesting.
I don't know if
speaking
this is
of barns, did I tell you that I got a pig? Did that come out in the last podcast?
No, you sort of mentioned it offhand after we were finished recording, but I don't think you mentioned it during.
Yeah, I've got a pig. So a mate of mine decided, because I'm living in this place which has got this barn and all of this land, and as soon as I got it, he was like, back in winter time, he was like, oh man, we got to get a pig. We got to get a pig this this year. And I was like, I don't know, pig. Anyway, we ended up getting a pig and I'm doing all the work because he doesn't live here.
Right.
He lives down the mountain.
Well, so he wanted you to get the pig, right, not him.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But we're splitting the pig when it comes to November and he gets turned into sausages.
Got it.
But he's a very nice pig. We gave him a name. He's called Zelensky. Zelensky the pig. And we say, hey, Zelensky, how are you? Hey, Zelensky, come on. And he follows me around like a little doggy now. But when we got him, he was about 60 kilos. I don't know what that is in pounds, but whatever stupid weight measurement thing you use over there in Seppo land. But he's up to about 80, 85 now after a month. He's put on like, you know, a quarter of his body weight again in a month. Because I've got some of the local restaurants. They're giving me all of their scraps.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Lots of cheese scraps, polenta scraps, lots of veggies, all that. There's a bit of meat mixed in there, including pork. So I get a bit worried when I see him chomping down his own friends.
Right.
But then I think, meh, he's going to be sausages.
Exactly.
And I get on really well with him. And this is the interesting thing about having a pig or, you know, a livestock that you know you're going to butcher. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everyone was like, I say to people, oh, he follows me around like a dog, and I scratch him on the behind the ears, and he really likes that, and he wags his little piggy tail a lot, yeah?
Right.
He's always happy to see me, and my vegetable garden with all my potatoes and onions is next to, because he's got this big outdoor area, it's just fenced off with electric fence. So whenever I'm working in the garden, he will come and be next to me on the other side of the fence and be rooting around looking for stuff, and if I move, he'll move, and he follows me around, yeah?
Right.
And so he and I get on very well. We have a lovely human piggy relationship. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I say this to people and then people say, but that's terrible. I mean, how can you then be friendly with him and then you're gonna take him out? You know, you're gonna kill him.
Right.
And I'm like, well, do I have to be mean to him? Do I have to be aloof? Do I have to be, you know, if I'm going to spend 5 or 6 months with the pig, can I be friendly with him and then take him out, or do I have to be miserable to him? I don't understand this point of view. Am I the psychopath here, great one?
No, I mean, actually, as you were describing that, I mean, it sounded to me like you were describing a lot of marriages where, you know, the man is the pig and the woman is you. Like, she's nice to her. She's going to divorce him. I mean, we know she is. And she's going to take half of what he's got. But you could be nice to him for 6 months in the meantime before you butcher him.
Yeah. While he wags his little tail.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's yeah. I mean, and jokes aside. So
what you're saying is, by that analogy, you're saying I'm false. That's what you're saying. I'm living a lie with my pig. That's what you're saying.
Oh. No, really, not really. I mean, I can see where you get that. No, I don't think you're living a lie with the pig. I mean, you've told the pig you're going to eat him, right?
Here, I want to be friendly with him.
Well, sure.
I want to be on good terms with him. Yeah. I want to hang out with him.
No, I agree.
Anyway.
I'm all about eating animals, but that doesn't mean you have to mistreat the animal before you eat it.
Everyone who protests at what I'm doing, like, oh, you can't be friendly. Yeah. And, oh, how can you kill him? How can you kill him? I'm like... Do you eat sausages? Do you eat like pork products? And in Italy, of course, there's pancetta, there's speck, there's so many good pork stuff over here. And they're all like, oh yeah, we do that. I was just like, but in the supermarket it's different.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh.
Right.
It came from Magic Space Pig. It doesn't exist.
It just appears in the meat department.
Yeah, it just appears in your shopping trolley.
Right, right.
You know, from nowhere.
They totally neglected those pigs that they're eating. I mean, how do you think the pigs feel about the emotional neglect
Man,
that they've received?
The guy who sold us the pig, he dropped him off, and he had like 8 pigs, and we chose this one because he didn't look at me funny. The two guys that dropped him off, there was a youngish guy in his early 30s, and then the older guy in his 70s or something like that. And the older guy was was pretty funny. Like in the barn, I've got my all my big chunks of wood that I'm cutting up by hand for the wood pile for this winter. Yeah,
right.
And I've got my big new fuck off axe there, inserted into the big slab of wood where I do all my chopping. And this guy, you know, he's just like, we're delivering the pig, but he starts just chopping wood from nowhere. Starts just getting an axe and he's chopping wood and showing us. And I'm just like, what are you fucking doing, man? You're just supposed to be delivering the pig. Why are you chopping wood? I mean, just fucking put the axe down. It's just like, you're over the hill. You can't demonstrate anything to us. You know, it's all over, mate. Give up. Go home. You know, get into bed. Don't get out. Anyway, they dropped the pig off. And they said that the place that I've got set up for the pig is a veritable holiday home, pig holiday home. And Piggy, he was about 6 months when they dropped him off, 6 months old. And he'd never seen the sky before. Yeah.
Wow.
And he'd been brought up in a concrete cement pen. And now he's got this 50 square meter area, which is full of tall grass that he's having a great time in. He's got his mud patch. You know, right. Where he goes and rolls around in the mud. He's got his barn inside, and I put him inside at night. He gets fed all of the leftovers from the local restaurants, which is really good shit. Well, I wouldn't touch it, but it's really good shit. And it's just like, this pig is in pig heaven. And of course it's going to end badly, but it was for him. But it was going to end badly for him anyway.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. He's living it up.
He's living it up. And, of course, the pork is going to taste amazing.
Well, you're seasoning it with all that good restaurant food.
We are. The trick you've got to do is not to feed them too many yeast-based products, so stuff like bread and that sort of thing. If you do that, especially in the last couple of months, then the meat is basically inedible. So you can't do that. And the last month or so, I'll basically keep him locked up inside the whole time because we don't want him running around because he likes to run. He gallops around and his little ears go up and down, bang, bang, bang. He runs around for the sheer joy of running. Yeah. But the last month or so, you want to keep him inside so the fat content builds up. So we need about 30% fat on him. So, it's quite interesting. I'm having a good time. Having a good time. And I can have up to four pigs here without having any sort of, as a domestic thing, just for ourselves. So this is the trial run. But as I said to my family back home, I'm the first piggot living down to his name. So I'm the first one with a pig, you know. So there you go.
That's a lot of build up for that joke.
I would have thought of that then. I've also got a couple of horsies.
What? Horsies? Yes.
I've got a couple of horsies. Bert and Ernie. And one's big and one's a smaller Arabian one. She's a bit flighty. But they're my neighbours, but he's got them on my land. So I get to hang out with them as well. So I feed them the bread. Ozelensky looks on in horror that I'm giving away his bread to the horses. Right. And yeah, so it's all quite. And then of course there's Whiskey the dog. So
right,
it's all going quite well. Yeah. Anyway, the last couple of days we've had these storms, really brutal storms, amazing hailstorms today. Luckily the car did not get damaged. But I've lived in the Alps for a long time and I've never seen summer storms like this. I've been having the last couple of weeks some really intense ones, man. So it's like. It's like in shitty Fahrenheit. It's about 100 degrees here during the day at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm at 1,200 meters. What's that? 2,000 feet? Something like that. Maybe more, 3,000 feet. It's high.
Yeah.
And we've got that sort of temperature. But that hot air then turns into massive thunderstorms in the afternoon. I'm blaming it all on global warming, of course, great one.
Yes.
You're with me on that, right? Because I believe everything... Absolutely.
Everything
that the mainstream media and governments tell me and NGOs, I believe it, okay? Because they've got my best interests at heart and they're smart and they know lots of stuff.
Very smart. They're experts.
Experts.
Yes. And they have computer models. Infallible. Infallible computer models.
Oh, They're great. I really love those ones. Mm-hmm. They're really, really good. I mean, I love following the computer models and not following at all what's going on in the actual world, because the computer models are so much more interesting, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, so much more accurate as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so much more accurate.
I mean, the real world doesn't really have anything to do with reality, not like computer models and experts do.
No. No, 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 no. I mean, we're all living in a matrix anyway. If I was going to pick the one leftist woke talking axiom point that they use as the most stupid one of all, things like diversity is our strength, that sort of stuff. You love that one, right?
That's one of my favorites.
I would think, and I know that this is a very low bar, but I'm going to put myself out here, great one.
Okay.
And you can disagree with me if you want. But that means we probably won't arrive at podcast number 31. But anyway, I digress.
Hey, it's better to stop while you're at the top.
Yes. Hey, you're a poet and didn't know it.
Anyway.
If I all these leftist woke sound bites.
Right.
Yeah. If I was going to pick the most stupid, inane one, the most fatuous one out of the whole lot, and this is a very, 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 very low bar, I know, but I would have to go with, as my gold standard, the science is settled. I don't think that one can be beaten.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. I mean, diversity is our strength is a good one. But,
that's a good one. But very strong. It's up there. Top five. It is up there, top five.
But you're right. The science is settled. I mean, yeah, science kind of by the nature of what science is can't be settled. It's sort of impossible. No. That could be it. That could be number one.
I mean, I believe in science is good too. That's in the top five. Okay. But the science is settled. I think that's in a league of its own. I was reading an article the other day that scientists, this is true, by the way, I'm not being facetious here. This is an actual thing I read.
Oh, I'm sure. Scientists, it will probably sound facetious, but I believe you did read it.
Thank you.
Pretty much everything sounds facetious to me at this point that I read.
Yes. Scientists have come out now and have come to the conclusion.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm assuming the science on this is settled, that low-fat yogurt is actually not that good for you, and that full-fat yogurt is actually very good for you indeed. And in fact, low-fat yogurt is so not good for you that you should probably avoid it altogether. I've been eating full fat yogurt for almost my entire life. And I take great delight into walking into a place and getting my yogurt and saying, "What's your fullest fat version? Have you got one with extra fat?
Can I get double fat? Supersize the fat in that.
Can I get fat and a bit of yogurt with it? You know, it's like asking for a tin of tuna that's had extra dolphins killed with this tuna. You know, I've been on the full fat and avoiding same thing. Full fat milk, you know, full cream milk, all that sort of stuff. Full dairy, you know, none of this low fat bloody bullshit. And it turns out apparently it's really bad for you because they have to manipulate the food in various chemical ways.
Yep.
And apparently the actual fat stuff in the full dairy yogurt does really good things for your body that they kind of didn't take into account, ignored, didn't know about. But the science is settled, great one. Science is settled. The science was settled for about 50 years on full-fat yogurt. Until last week.
And then it settled again. It resettled.
Yeah, now it's settled again. Yeah, like sediment in a shallow pond or something like that. So that was just the latest one that I read, and I just thought to myself, but it's kind of interesting. Is this just like, as the years goes by, all of my stances and full fat yogurt has been, and full fat dairy products has been a personal, one of my many personal stances against the machine.
Right.
During my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not because I'm so much smarter than everyone else, though there's a bit of that in there, obviously.
Obviously.
It's just that to me, these products never made sense. Like margarine over butter.
Oh, yeah.
When I found out how margarine is made, I was like, well, that can't be good for you.
No.
But the butter comes from the cow who's got the little tail, and her name's Daisy. And
right.
I'm going to eat her, of course. But, damn, you know, straight. She's a very nice cow, like Zelensky the pig.
Yeah. They're all very nice animals.
So I went with butter over margarine. And proper butter, too. I tried to get the best butter I possibly always can.
Right.
And let me tell you, great one, let me tell you something. Living up here in the Italian Alps, I can get some very good butter indeed from the local, they call them malgas, where they make butter and cheese and all that sort of stuff. So I drive up once every couple of weeks and load up on the butter.
Nice.
And ask me what my cholesterol level is, great one. Ask me. Go on, ask me. Great one.
Adam.
Want you to ask me.
Yes.
What I want you, great one, to ask me.
Ask you.
What my cholesterol? Can you do me a favor, great one?
Yes.
My cholesterol level. I want you to ask me what it is. Okay. All right. Could you do that for me?
I can do this.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
All right.
Adam, I'd like to.
Yes.
If it's okay with you, I'd like to. Uh-huh. Ask you a really personal question. You don't have to answer this because I don't want to pry in your personal matters or anything like this. So please, don't. If you don't want to answer this, don't answer it. Would you be willing to tell me and the internet and even Aaron Clary, would you tell us?
You're a strong man, Brian.
Aye, am I too strong?
Then shower up with Irish Spring.
Ah, the double deodorant soap.
The very one to get a strong man fresh. Look, and these green and white stripes are two deodorants to get a man fresh and clean.
What a fine, fresh scent.
That's why I use it too.
Irish Spring with two deodorants.
Gets a strong man fresh.
I mean, if you don't mind, if it's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is your cholesterol level?
Ah. I don't know how to answer this, great one. I'm a little bit embarrassed. I'm a little bit embarrassed here. You've kind of taken me by surprise. This has come out of nowhere.
I did spring this on you.
You did.
I understand.
This is left. This is the definition of left field.
If we need to pause the recording so you can go take an emotional
break.
No.
That would be artificial. That would be a low fat podcast.
If you need to go, if you need to go pet your emotional support pig or anything.
Yes. Yes. All right. Okay. What's my cholesterol level? All right. Great one. I'm going to give you the answer now. Are you ready for the answer? Great one. Are you ready?
Ready
for the answer to your question. Your question that you asked me, you yourself.
I came up with this question on my own.
All by yourself, no help at all.
Nope, no help from the media.
Let the internet be my witness.
Right.
Let God strike my internet with lightning if what I say is false.
Well, I think the science is settled. I came up with this question on my own.
You did.
This is settled science.
Okay. What was the question again? I've forgotten.
What is your cholesterol level?
Oh, that's right. Okay. That's right.
I know it's a lot to wrap your minds around here, but.
All right. Would you like to guess?
Yeah.
Come on. That's an interesting game, isn't it? It's right up there with, you know, Trivial Pursuit, Scrabble, Naked Baby Twister with baby oil.
Wow. But not with babies. That would be wrong.
No, Naked Baby Twister. That's good.
Well, I don't know what normal ranges are. I'm going to guess that yours is in the range that the medical experts would say is good.
Great one. Why don't you let me preface my question answering your question with a question of my own.
Okay.
Why don't you know what the ranges of cholesterol are?
Because I honestly couldn't care less, because I don't care. It's
okay. So if I said, for instance, my cholesterol was 11B,
yep,
that actually wouldn't mean anything.
Nothing to me. I know that you're not fat, and I know that you're physically active, and I know that you're healthy. I don't care what you're. I know that I'm not fat. I'm physically active. I'm healthy. Don't care what my cholesterol is.
Right, right. Well, that kind of leads me on to the answer to your fascinating question is I don't know what my cholesterol is.
All right. See, now, as an example, though, as a counterpoint, I have a coworker. I know that he is fat. I know that he's unhealthy. I know that he had a heart attack. I don't know what his cholesterol is either. And it doesn't matter. He had a heart attack and he's overweight. I mean,
does he know what his cholesterol level is?
Oh, probably, because he spends a bunch of time and money going to the doctor, the same doctor who allowed him to get fat and have a heart attack.
Well, no. I mean, he allowed himself to get fat and have a heart attack. You can't put that on the doctor. Bit of responsibility here.
Yes and no. I mean, your doctor can at least tell you to stop being fat.
He can tell you to do whatever you want, you know, whatever he wants, but it doesn't mean you're going to do it. It's like when I used to teach people English. All right, you need to study this and you need to do it every night this week, because if you only do it one night, 2 hours before the lesson next week, it's not going to go in. Okay. What do you think they fucking did?
Well, they didn't do what you told them, and that's your fault.
No. I don't know what my cholesterol is. I've never have it measured. I don't know what the measurement ranges are. I'm 51 years old. I couldn't give a flying fuck. I actually read a few months ago that now all the cholesterol that they said was bad is actually good.
Oh,
I sent that to my father, who's obsessed with his cholesterol, and he told me that this couldn't possibly be true and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
They
flip-flopped on this cholesterol thing like 3 or 4 times in my lifetime. They're constantly flip-flopping on this. Well, by constantly, I mean every 10 years.
If I knew what my cholesterol was, I would start to worry about it. The worry about my, was I, even if it was good, was I keeping it at the right level? What should I do? Should I stop? Should I start? Should I drink this glass of red wine? Should I not drink this glass of red wine? And the stress from that then, of course, causes your cholesterol to go up or down. I don't know if it's good or bad, because who can believe what the science has settled people say these days. It's best to live in what I call ignorant bliss. Try and eat the right foods.
Yep.
Try and drink good red wine and whiskey. Yeah. And avoid the doctor at all fucking costs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, after the COVIDs and 1,753 days to stop the curve, or whatever it is now, I had my trust in the medical profession and the pharmaceutical industries before COVID was what I considered to be rock bottom. But my rock bottom was not low enough.
No, it's not.
And now I would... All right, if I had to put the medical profession and pharmaceutical industries up against a bunch of pedophiles and wonder who I should leave my child with...
At least with the pedophiles, you know what they're going to stick into your child.
Exactly. It's a hard choice, isn't it?
It really kind of is.
It really kind of is without
it
being
really is.
Silly.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to go, wait a minute. Let me just consider this for a second. The fact that you consider it for a second says all you need to know about the medical industry and the pharmaceutical industry. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. I mean, the pedophiles are a known evil. You know what they're going to do. I mean, the medical industry you just don't.
It's a known evil as well now, I would say.
Well, true. I mean, we in the sense that we do know they're evil and we know they're going to experiment on you and all this other stuff, but you don't really know the details. But yeah, it's scary.
But I mean,
back to food, I used to make a joke.
Yeah, go on.
Back to food. I mean, I have the same philosophy you do. It's like I don't do dairy products all that often, like milk or whatever. But yeah, when I do, I'm not getting low fat anything. I haven't bought anything that says low fat on it in years. Like in this gluten-free crap, it's like, okay, I don't eat bread stuff all that often, but when I do, I'm going to eat real bread, not some
sourdough.
I
like sourdough.
Yeah. And
sourdough.
I actually, speaking of settled science, so,
yes.
And how you were talking about how the low fat messes up and yada, yada, yada. So I just read this book written by a guy who has looked at a bunch of research and talked to research and all this other stuff. And shockingly enough, he has found and research has shown, although he didn't say the science was settled, but what you just said is true, that all of this manipulated food is actually screwing people up. Because the artificial sweeteners, you put the artificial sweetener in your Diet Coke and you drink the Diet Coke, and the amount of sweetness in the Diet Coke sends one signal to your digestive system, but it's the wrong signal because there's not actually that much sugar there. And so it screws up your digestive system. And that's the very short version of what's going on. But the point is, the artificial sweeteners, the artificial fats, all of this stuff is screwing up people's metabolism, and surprisingly, it's making them fat. Because have you ever seen a thin person? Well, do you have Diet Coke over there? I guess you do. Do you have thin? Because over here in America, if someone's ordering a Diet Coke, they're fat. They are. Every person who orders Diet Coke is fat, and no one can make a connection here.
Well, it's because I think it's a combination of the fact that it's been highly manipulated, is what you said, but also because they've been eagerly brainwashed, because they have a part in this too.
Sure.
Yeah. Into accepting that the Diet Coke has got no, is only benefits for them.
Right.
Whereas they would have in normal a drink X amount of Coke, full strength.
Mm-hmm.
With Diet Coke, they'll guzzle 20 gallons of the crap.
That too.
I spent 4 months in Louisiana, right?
Yes.
This is just before COVID. This was 2019,
right?
I think I was there.
Back in the before times.
2019. I don't remember for sure. 2019. Like that. Yeah, 2019. It was 2019. And I was in a hotel room, but it had a kitchenette, all that sort of stuff. Because I specifically I don't want to be eating out for 4 months, even if it's on the company dime.
I just
can't handle that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's another reason
to be able to cook
people
my own
run
food,
healthy.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was down there in Homer, Louisiana, and it took me a few days to work out where to do my shopping. First of all, there were no family run butcher vegetable place or anything like that. It was only big fuck off supermarkets. That was it.
Right.
That was it. I couldn't find the local butcher. I couldn't find the local fruit and veg shop. And that's where I always go. I always go to the small ones to get the majority of my stuff. Didn't exist. Or I couldn't find them.
Right.
Maybe someone listening to this podcast will say, well, Adam, in the comments, you should have gone to Billy Bob Joel, and I was going, I don't think the acting on fire. Mm-hmm. Something like that. But I didn't fucking find him. And I asked, okay? It wasn't like I just drove around.
Right, randomly looking.
Yeah. So right. I was working with locals.
Right,
you know,
they would know.
A whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Hey, is there a butcher? The such and such supermarket's got really good meat. Now, I don't think I understood what I said. Does the town have a butcher? And I had to explain what a butcher
sure
is.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
Has the town got a fruit and veg shop. Let me explain what a fruit and veg shop is for you. Yeah?
Yeah.
And so on. Fish shop.
Right.
I found a bakery. I found a bakery.
We got plenty of bakeries.
Yeah. They did everything except for bread, from what I could see. Mm. There was a lot of cake and sweet stuff with cream piled to the ceiling.
Right.
That's... Bread was a bit thin on the ground.
That sounds about right.
Anyway, so I started looking for the supermarket, and I found the upmarket supermarket. Now, hang on, let me get the name of it. Let me get on Google for Homer, Louisiana. All right. And I don't really need to do this now, but suddenly I want to do it.
Sure.
So I'm going to.
Why not?
So let's go. Homer, city in Louisiana. There we go. Google Maps. There we go. Oh, Walmart Supercenter is right there. Okay, so we're going to. This might actually be a bad idea. I can't visualize. Big Mike's Barbecue Smokehouse. I remember that. I'm never going to find this in a million years. I'm never going to find this.
Yeah, he'll stumble on it any second now.
Oh, there's the tunnel. Oh, that goes up. And again,
that way.
Thibodeau Regional Urgent Care. Oral Facial Surgery Center.
Facial Surgery Center. That's what we need.
I can't find the name of the supermarket. Okay. El Paso Mexican Grill. Applebee's Grill and Bar. What the fuck? Oh, Roses Market.
Ah.
There it
is. See, he found it.
I fucking did.
Had faith in
Roses Market, supermarket chain offering produce, meat, and seafood, plus grab-and-go dinners and beer. So
and
Roses Market, Rouse's Market grocery store. Mm-hmm. This was the high quality one in town.
Okay.
So I started going there, and it was big, man. It was the biggest. It's the biggest supermarket I've ever been in my life. Okay, by far. And for Americans, it's probably piddly. But for me, it was, I would walk in and, you know, 4 hours later, I'd still be walking around trying to find my asshole. and it was big. It was really, this is what I've been getting to the whole time. Mm-hmm. It was really hard to buy good quality fresh food without additives. And this was the top market supermarket. I had to go into like the area that dealt with like overseas food, like Italian and stuff, find olive oil, find pasta that was actually pasta and not just, it's so hard for you guys to eat properly, man.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's really hard. I'm really good at cooking. I'm really good at shopping. I've been looking after myself for my whole adult life. I've done this all around the world. I've never had such a hard time to buy good quality food, whether it's fresh or packeted or tinned, whatever you get, as I did in the US, it's a nightmare over there. A nightmare.
Yeah, it is. We've got bloody additives in everything and artificial in everything. And high fructose corn syrup in everything. And everyone thinks that this is great because of, you know, it's my science. It's like, well, this chemical that some person invented in a lab must obviously be better than sugar.
Yeah. Yeah. Margarine.
Yeah.
It's basically a byproduct from the oil and gas industry.
Right.
What do we do with this shit? Let's put a food coloring in it and sell it as food. Right. I'll never buy that.
Yes, they will. Marketing. We just tell them it's healthier. Butter will kill you.
And I think one of the big problems that you guys with, like if I look at Rouse's Market, it's for me, it's fucking enormous. I think one of the biggest problems, the biggest challenges that you guys have to eating well is the amount of choice that you have. Because you've got so much choice, it's impossible to choose. I mean, I know what I want when I walk into a supermarket. I know that, like, for instance, I want tinned tomatoes.
Right.
But finding good quality tinned tomatoes over there was fucking ridiculous. I know that I'm going to get tin beans or packet of beans or something. These are like staples that I have in my pantry. But you guys have got so much choice there that it's almost like, it's not like you're spoiled for choice. It's that you're bamboozled by choice. And at the end of the day, it's just like you're in the deer in the headlights and, oh, I don't know what to get. What do I get? I don't know. This is going to bright packet. I'm just going to put that, going to take 10 of these. Oh. Right. And you get home and, you know, all you bought is Diet Coke and Whiz Foos, you know, or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The thing is, if I go into my local Italian supermarket, all right. So my local Italian supermarket here, and I'm not joking, the Rouse's Market entryway, where you enter and you walk past things and then you pass through that area and then you go through the little turnstile thing and you're into the right. supermarket proper.
Right.
The Rouse's Market indoor entry point is about the size of the Italian supermarket. That's it. And Italian supermarkets also sell booze.
Nice.
And it means that you go in and the choices are what they are, but you right. can do a lot with those because Italian food is amongst the best on the planet, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
But I also go to my local butcher who's going to help me with Zelensky,
right.
you know, when we string him up, the pig that is, not, you know, the leader of Ukraine. Though my friend and I have got a kind of a hope that the day that we off Zelensky, that Zelensky gets offed as well in real Ooh. Life. That would be like, you know what I mean?
That would be an interesting coincidence, yeah.
It would. Anyway, and then I've got my fruit and veggie shop. I go there. I've got my bakery. I go there. I've got all these little specialty shops I like to go to, you know, mm-hmm. And it's nice because I know everyone there. And like the bakery that on Saturday, they hold one of their big sourdough, big loaves for me because I can use it into Sunday as well when they're shut. I've also got the mobile cheese and salami guy with his mobile truck. So on tomorrow I'll go to him in the local little place. He's got these really good beer sausages. I love beer sausages. You know what beer sausages yummy. Are?
Yeah. Yep.
He's got really good ones.
Delish.
You know.
Right.
Anyway.
I think you're right. I think that two other aspects of our problem here is, first of all, you go on a supermarket in the States, and I actually went to freaking Safeway just this morning, and so I was sort of thinking about all of this stuff because I had to do it. Even though there's wide variety of, say, canned beans, if you read the ingredients, they're all the same damn thing. And it's all filled with all the crap. But then the other thing is, here in the States, everybody is lazy. And nobody, like, you know, you prepare your own food. I, for the most yes. part, prepare my own food.
Every night. Right. Every lunch and every night.
Yeah.
Every breakfast, every meal.
But most meal. Right. But most Americans, they just want something out of a box that's fast because they need to get back to binge watching whatever the television told them they're supposed to watch on Netflix or whatever. And so it's like I went in the store today and it's like I know what I want and it's I picked up some fresh veggies and I picked up some butter and that's about it. And there's all this crap in the middle of the supermarket. For those of you in other countries, in American supermarkets, they're all laid out the same. Everything that is actual food is on the outside walls of the supermarket. So the vegetables, they are, I'm serious. It's on the outside walls. If you go in the supermarket and you walk around the wall, you never go down the aisles. There's nothing in the aisles you need. On the wall is where you'll find the vegetables, the meat, the fish, the dairy, and the butter. Every supermarket right. I've ever been in the United States is like that. And all the shit in the middle, there's nothing, all of that, it's all junk. It's all fake food. And that's what most of the people eat. And it's shit like cereal with artificial sugar and beans with preservatives, you know, and it's just crap. But people here, they don't want to prepare their own food. Oh, cooking is hard. No, cooking's not that damn hard.
Well, actually,
I mean, cooking is cooking hard. Good if, might be hard.
Yes. I mean, to learn how to cook is hard, but anything, you know, worth doing is a little bit hard to learn how to doing. I mean,
sure.
I think in my Modern Men series that I did years ago, I think one of the things I said was a modern man knows how to cook, you know, and it's absolutely true. You need to be able to cook. If you,
right.
If you want to eat well, you need to be able to cook well. If
right.
God, you can waste so much money eating out.
Yes.
I mean, so much money.
I know, because I used to do that. I used to eat in restaurants all the time.
Well, my ex-wife and I kind of did that a lot because that was our substitute for children. We would eat out.
Right.
You know, top restaurants, all the rest of it, mm-hmm. compare it. You know, how good were the bathrooms? I look back on the superficiality and materialistic side of it and just kind of scratch my head as how much money we literally blew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too.
Insane.
Yeah. When I insane. Think about what I've spent insane. In restaurants in my life, nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, guys listening to this, you know, if you're trying to budget, if you're trying to make your money
right,
go further, one of the first things I say to you is don't eat out.
Exactly.
Like I worked once with a really nice guy in Australia, good guy, really good guy. He used to be the Australian version of a Navy SEAL diver, so a mine clearance underwater diver for the Navy. Mm. And really nice guy, younger than me, they're 10 years or so younger than me. And every day on the way to work, he would stop at this coffee shop and pick up a coffee and a donut or a bit of cake or something, come to work. And we'd be in a staff meeting beforehand, and he's always got his, you know, mm-hmm. takeaway coffee there and all the rest of it. I didn't say anything about this. And then one day he was, the subject was, you know, saving money and all the rest of it. And he was like, oh, it's hard to save money. I'm like, well, you know, you're wasting a lot of money. And he goes, no, I'm very careful with my money. I said, no, you're not. I said, you're getting a coffee and a donut every morning on the way to work. And he's like, well, you know, that's only, I said, well, how much is that? And it came to like, you get coffee, you get a donut, but he also get a coffee for his girlfriend at the time and all the rest of it. So I think it averaged out to about $10,
mm-hmm.
you know, $10 or something like that. So I said to him, that's $50 a week. That's $2,500 a year that you're spending on just this. And I said it to him and it was like I'd struck him between the eyes with a ballpoint hammer, you know?
Right.
It was just like I'd actually knocked him flat. But he was a really good guy. And that day on, man, you never saw him again with that coffee shop lost some business.
Yep.
Because of me. Well, not because of me, because of him, because he went, fuck, you're right. And I said to him, I make a big coffee in the morning and I've got my little, and I have a Mocha coffee pot and it's the best thing ever. And it'll cost you 1 week of you getting coffee from that place. And I put it in this plastic cup thing that I reuse every day. And that's in the car with me and I take that to work and there's my coffee done. Thank you very much. And he did the same thing for that. And that's $2,500. I wrote an article once years ago when I was living in Melbourne and going out all the time with my ex-wife. But we used to go out for breakfast a lot. But breakfast was basically a coffee. And this was on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was an excuse to go out.
Right.
You know? I know I'm sounding slightly hypocritical here, but... like I said, we were also wasting money.
Right.
But we would just have a couple of coffees and maybe share a bit of cake or something like that. But all around us, all of the typically millennials were hocking into these avocado breakfast.
Dude, avocado toast.
Right. Yeah. This is like 2014, 2015. And I got interviewed by these Australian podcasters, millennial guys, and they were saying how it was impossible for young Australians to save up for a house. And I was like, well, of course, if they're blowing, you know, $50 on Saturday morning and $50 on Sunday morning every week on avocado fucking toast.
Right.
Because it was crazy how much this shit cost.
Yeah, which, and yeah, and that's something you can pretty easily make at home.
Oh, I mean, dude.
And that's not where you need to be proficient at cooking like you are, like roasting a chicken or something. It's like bread, toaster, avocado, knife.
Well, no, I mean, you need to put lime in your avocado or lemon. You need to salt, bit of salt and pepper.
You don't need to. You could start basic and build your way up and save the money.
A bit of, you know, cayenne sauce or something like that.
They'll figure it out. The millennials are the smartest generation ever. They'll figure it out.
It's not that fucking hard.
No, it's not.
It's not that fucking hard. No. Anyway, I said this on the podcast episode.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe you guys could all, you know, oh, the guys went nuts at me. They were really offended. And I also said, oh, you know, it's too expensive to buy a house in Melbourne. I was just like, well, move. I mean, I've lived all around Australia, you know, and I moved to go to follow, and this was back in the 90s, to follow where the jobs were, where I wanted to work, but also, you know, where I was going to get the most bang for my buck and all the rest of it as regards, doesn't matter if you're earning a high salary, if you're living in the center of fucking Melbourne or Sydney. You know, the cost of living is gonna eat it up. You're gonna work to live. That's it.
Right.
That's it. You know, in the sense that you're gonna live to work because that's the only option you've got. And they got incredibly upset with me on that one. Oh no, they can't be. But they should be able to live right in the center of this major, huge, fucking metropolis and still be able to afford all the rest of it. And in a certain sense, they're not wrong. I mean, the Australian population has been completely screwed over by immigration and manipulation of asset prices, you know, the usual boomer stuff.
Right.
But at the same time, if that's your reality,
right,
I'm not living in Australia for a reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't control the housing market, but you can control where you live. You know, so yeah, when you tell them, you're right. You've got to control the things that you can control, and you can sit there,
and take power into your own hands. So if they're going to make it really difficult for you, one spot, I just can't understand the mentality. Stay in that spot, live with that difficulties, and bitch and moan about it.
Exactly.
It's just like don't support because by staying there, also you're supporting them. You're supporting the machine.
Exactly.
Just fucking leave.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else. Tell them to get fucked. Oh, it's so hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's not. And actually, it's not that hard.
Is it harder than sitting there treading water and never going anywhere financially?
Can I be an example of how not hard it is to live all the way around the world?
Right.
You know, I mean, I stopped being a rafting guide in 2010. So what's that? 13 or 14 years ago. Because I've had people accuse me, oh, Adam, you know, you've only lived all around the world because you had a job that you could do that. I'm not doing that anymore. I haven't been doing that for a long time, but I'm still, you know, since I stopped rafting, I've lived in Australia, the Netherlands, Saudi Arabia, and now I'm back in Italy.
Right.
And I haven't picked up I haven't stepped in a raft a whole bloody time. You know, it's just, this is the reality of where we are now. I think for guys, there are two options right now. You either do what I do, or you build your own small-scale communities out of the big cities in places like the US or Australia. Take a leaf out of the Amish's book and surround yourselves with like-minded people. The great one's probably going to, you know, cringe and burst into flame when I say this, but it's best to be around a religious thing like Catholicism or something like that. So you all know where on a moral scale where all the people that you're, you know, building the community are at. Because without religion, there are no morals. It's all do as you will. And just because you're a really good guy and you don't do bad things to people, don't make the mistake of then projecting that onto the rest of the general fucking population. I think those are the two options right now. Those two options there, really. I don't see for young guys who want to get on with it and you know and get out from underneath the claws of the machine, because that's what we're talking about.
Right.
I think those are the two options right now. The two best options. Of course, there's always other options, but I think those are the two best ones myself.
Yep.
I don't know what you think, Greg.
No, I would agree. Get as far away from the machine as you can. Especially get away from the big cities. Especially get away from the big cities.
Yeah, the big cities are basically death, I think.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, and God, when the shit hits the fan, those are going to be the war zones.
Yeah. Yeah. Though, you know, you say that, but, you know, where I'm living right now, at the outbreak of the First World War, this was the front line.
Right.
Fought over for 3 years. Like, literally, you can go around with a metal detector around my house.
And find all kinds of good stuff, huh?
Oh, bullets and all sorts of stuff. But, you know, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And I'm up in the high mountains where you'd think nothing's going to happen up here. Ba-bow. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. yeah. Anyway. You sent me an email with some talking points.
Yeah, I guess I did. They weren't necessarily good ones.
You want to hear?
But
Ocean Gate, I think we've done that one.
That was pretty funny. Glad you wrote about that. I didn't even know about that. I got a lot of entertainment out of that whole thing.
You watched my video with Tony.
Yeah.
VC Tony. Yeah. A bit of a full-on religious video, that one. Yeah. I'm surprised you watched that one.
Yeah, well, you know, I listened to your Australian accent. You could read the phone book and people will listen to you because, he's got an Australian accent. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, man.
I made sure to put it in my show notes so all of the haters would be able to see it.
Right. Yeah. You wrote, agree with you on the marriage children thing. What was it? What did I say on marriage children?
The point of getting married is to have children.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to put no limitations on it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, not for white people. Oh, shit. Did I say that out loud? Oops. Diversity is our strength.
So we've got diversity is our strength. The science is settled. I believe in science. What other big ones are there? Refugees are welcome.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, God. What else are the libtards saying these days?
Diversity, equality, no, diversity, inclusion, and equality, also known as DI.
Nice, diversity.
Man. What other ones have we got? See, there's so many that I just can't think of any.
Yeah, I mean, the mind kind of boggles just trying to process it.
Yeah, okay. We're boggled. We've been boggled out of existence.
Minor attracted persons.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yes. And also known as pedophiles?
No. They're well, yeah. Don't you understand?
I got a good one.
What?
I got a good one. Love is love.
Love is love. Yes. That one is fucking ridiculous. God, that one makes me cringe so bad. Ugh. Yeah. Love is love.
Yeah. Love is love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There you go. What shall we call this episode, Great One?
We talked a lot about food and health. Nutrition, whatever you want to call that. We talked about, but, you know, I mean, it is all science, which is settled. We could call it the settled science episode.
The settled science episode? I mean,
it would be the worst name ever.
No, we've had some pretty good names. I thought the first black woman on the moon was a good one.
That was a good one.
I noticed you didn't get any comments on that one on your site. Was that because you nuked everyone or just no one cared?
No one cared, apparently.
There you go. I don't think we were...
Whoa.
We were to be. I mean, I literally wrote a post the other day called...
better to be a racist. Women. Oh.
No, better to be a racist than to have Abbo's rule over you.
Yep.
And I mean, I got linked to by a whole bunch of people. So it got a lot of hits. There was several thousand hits on it.
Oh, nice.
But I was just hoping for some controversy and nothing. What do I have to do, great one? It's like the Australian Defence League. It's the Australian version of the ADL, mm-hmm. the Jewish right. thing. Every year they publish their list of naughty white people who won't get with the program. Yeah. Mm. And a lot of my articles get cross-posted on XYZ magazine. Uh-huh. And for the last 4 or 5 years, every writer on XYZ in Australia gets listed
on the list.
Nice. Except for
you.
Take a running guess.
Except for Adam Piggott.
I miss out every fucking year.
That is sad.
What do I have to do?
Maybe all these other writers...
Open my own concentration camp?
Well, maybe these other writers are just advertising themselves more. I mean, I've kind of thought about just sending links to my website to the ADL because they haven't noticed me yet. And I'm a little disappointed. I mean, I do the parentheses around Jews and everything.
Yeah.
And I haven't been listed as an enemy of the Jews yet. It's hard.
I mean, Jordan Peterson accused me of being anti-Semitic.
Yeah, but he's kind of a washed-up nobody, though. His 15 minutes is over, I think.
Yeah, but he accused me during his 15 minutes.
Well, that's true. And you still, yeah. You didn't get enough mileage out of that, did you?
I got a fair bit.
Not enough.
Obviously not enough. But anyway, the science is settled episode, you know, we can do it that way. That's a good one. Yeah.
Write this down.
Do we want to do some shout outs to Cappy with his on the internet?
Sure. He won't hear them.
Nah.
Yeah.
Well, should we be mean?
Of course we should be mean. How else are we gonna get on the list? I mean, come on. We're not going to get on any list by being nice, are we?
Maybe I should write a nice article about the Jews. Maybe that would get me banned.
You should write an article about how there's not enough concentration camp survivors.
And they keep going up every year.
We need more.
It's up to, what was it, up to 400? There's only 400,000 Holocaust survivors left now.
Up from 100,000.
Like a couple of years ago, it was only 150. It goes up. This is great. It's great.
We just keep finding more of them.
Right. This is like, oh, there's another one.
There's one. That person's only 37 years old. Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah. All right. Shout outs to Aaron Claren, Captain Cabalism, Aaron Claren.
Whatever his name is, it doesn't matter.
I've had too much red wine. But for sending me Irish Spring soap.
The freshness of a spring morning reminds me of the freshness of my Irish Spring soap. It's springtime in a bar. In these green and white stripes are two deodorants that leave you feeling clean and fresh a long, long time. Irish Spring. Now that's my kind of soap.
And we like it too.
Irish Spring leaves you feeling clean and fresh a long, long time.
Anyway, so it's goodbye from me. Is it goodbye from you, great one?
It is goodbye from me.
Lovely. And we'll see you all on the flip side. Ciao.
What's going to happen to us?
Well, he's a Nazi, Chris.
If I had to guess, I'd say he's going to make us into a lampshade or a wallet or a bar of soap. I guess that means I'll be Irish Spring.